Welcome to the Ministry Collaborative Podcast,
an ongoing conversation
with ministry leaders
about embracing complexity
and uncertainty
with joy
and faithfulness.
Hi, friends. This is Adam Borneman with the Ministry Collaborative, and today I'm especially pleased to be with my friend Ayanna Teeter, who is on our board and advisory board and just a great conversation partner in all sorts of ways over the past several years. She's the Associate Dean of Students and Formation at Pittsburgh Theological Seminary. She's a parish associate at Eastminster Presbyterian in that same city. And I'm really glad to find a time to chat with you for a few minutes. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me. It's good to be with you.
Ayanna, one of the ongoing conversations I've had with you over the past few years and that our team has had with you is just about this connection between seminary life and then ministry life and all the messiness in between. I know you do a lot of work with students and pastors in that area, and specifically digging under that a little bit, just to these themes of formation, vocation, and how rapidly and dramatically all of that seems to be changing. I wonder if sometimes it just means that we need to recover something that maybe has been lost, but also seeing some new things emerge that we need to pay closer attention to. So I'd love to get into that. And first, could you just tell folks a brief snippet of how you got to where you are in Pittsburgh?
Yeah, thanks. And I'm hopeful about the conversation, you know, even as I'm hearing you kind of tee it up, it reminds me that every day feels different, and sometimes the challenges that I feel coming at us on Monday are completely different by Friday. And so I'm curious where this conversation will go. I got to PTS by way of Pittsburgh Presbytery, which was an incredibly formative season in my own vocational journey after serving a couple of churches with my husband and co-pastoring there. Coming to Pittsburgh and looking at the pastoral vocation from the bureaucratic middle judicatory side of things, but from this place of really being partnered with pastors who are in the trenches, worshiping and working and trying to make sense of the gospel in their context was really formative for me. I got to see what makes us tick as clergy in congregational settings in like a really new way. And like I saw all of the ways that we struggled really profoundly. And so I kind of took all of that and the journey that I was on in that time and brought it to PTS to see, okay, is there something in our theological formation that we could get at sooner? Are there things that we see when people are just coming in that we can accompany them?
So what are the answers?
My 3-point list includes.
What have you found about those deeper theological plates that have shifted or are shifting or things that we can pay closer attention to just along the lines of maybe what you've been looking for in this current role?
Yeah. So honestly, I mean, there's different language, right? There's a kind of academic language around it, which I obviously haven't perfected at all. And then there's a really practical language around it. Like I think people come eager and hopeful, but they haven't really worked out what hope is. They don't have a deep theology of hope. And they haven't done a lot of the work of, and I'm picking and choosing here, but they haven't done a lot of the work of really wrestling with what it means to be for the gospel in 2023 in America. They haven't wrestled with that in their own flesh. It's kind of ideas and not necessarily embodied practice. That's one of the things I see with people thinking about coming into the ministry, thinking about leading people. They haven't wrestled with what it means to lead, the implications of that.
Yeah. What's so striking to me about that is that on the one hand, you're alluding to this deeper theological space of hope that we might try to inhabit. And there's just a lot of, you could take that in all sorts of different directions. And yet you're also seeing the need to connect that to very concrete particular circumstances. You know, so it's both of these things. It's the really big picture of what does it mean to live in hope or live into hope in this very large theme. And then also, where does that land in this time, in this place in 2023? And that's a really strong insight, because I think maybe one of the struggles is to learn how to live in that tension and not flying too far to either side of that.
Yeah, I mean, I think congregational ministry, but any ministry where you are trying to bear witness to good news that's in Jesus Christ in the midst of people that are oppressed mm-hmm. by a variety of systems, right? How to be faithful in late stage capitalism mm-hmm. is something mm-hmm. that I think we could talk for hours about. How to be faithful in the midst of really just another season of our racist future, present, and past mm-hmm. hitting us in our face. You know, how to be faithful in the midst of that. How to have hope mm-hmm. in the midst of that, I think, is where the rubber meets the road. And so students, seminarians are invited to wrestle with ideas, but then to implement practices of faithfulness mm-hmm. in community, in real time. And it's hard. I see it's hard work. And so no wonder 5 years up the road when people are serving a most likely small, struggling church mm-hmm. filled with folks who maybe haven't done any of that wrestling either. It's challenging.
You've got me thinking about something that I haven't given enough thought to, and that is, because that journey you just described, I think, is widespread and quite common, and I think it leads to a lot of what some people would call burnout or whatever it is, I wonder how much of that is because we wake up to realize we were never tethered deeply enough to the central things in the first place.
Oh, yeah.
Our colleague Adam Mixon, the phrase he always uses is the danger of fruit with no root. Mm. It will wither eventually. Mm-hmm. I worry about that with a lot of my colleagues who are engaged in really important, valuable work and whose souls are being crushed by it.
Yes.
Because we haven't provided enough space for them to be truly deeply formed and to just be okay with the circumstances that are presented to them. In some ways, it's like Dietrich Bonhoeffer saying, what's in front of you? Let's just be faithful to that. Even if it's not the thing you thought, or even if it's not the way that you thought you were going to be important or faithful or, you know, whatever it might be. But yeah, you've got me thinking about yeah. that dynamic of how do we get people more centered and rooted
yeah.
earlier in a yeah. way that's more sustainable.
And what I see is that the process of doing that work of becoming rooted and grounded in a hope that can transcend what we see and experience and feel and hear about and read about, that process is not systematized. Mm-hmm, it mm-hmm. is not programatized. There are not three different points that I can say. It is a journey of discernment. It is a journey of deepening. It is cyclical. I mean, you could go to our early church fathers and mothers and kind of how they were thinking about it. You could think about some of our more modern folks talking about this work. But mm-hmm. I mean, it's a process. It's an iterative process whereby I come into community with folks who challenge me to think more deeply, who invite me into a deeper intimacy with the Lord. And then mm-hmm. at that moment, I'm invited to accept and do the work of whatever it is, self-examination, self-reflection, thinking more deeply about the gospel, reading, studying, repenting. Mm-hmm. And there's no little program for that. You got to walk with people. You got to be with people. You got to find your people.
You just said a phrase that sticks out to me. I'm trying to think of the last time I've been involved in some sort of very specific justice work, you know, a protest, whatever it is, and me turning to someone saying, I'm so glad this is being fueled by intimacy with the Lord. It's interesting how we don't know how to package these things. And I think part of the prophetic work may be some of that. I know that our team has fiddled around a lot with things like, what is faith-filled justice making like? Mm. How do we rethink the language around some of these things so that they're not either or even both and, but they're just kind of understood as, this is what it is, as you said, this is what it is to be faithful in American late stage capitalism or whatever ism you want to describe it as. How can we challenge even the vocabulary we use around some of these things to point to something deeper?
Yeah. And I think one way that we can do that, honestly, is to be rooted in the story of Jesus. Mm-hmm. There is some deep truth to hearing and rehearing and examining and letting yourself be touched by the story of Jesus in his context and for our context, and letting that be the ground out of which your justice work, right, or whatever work is coming. That's hard for people. I find that to be hard for students. hard for pastors to really let that be the root.
Yeah, I totally agree. And another space in which I see this playing out, a slightly different space, is just mid to large size congregational life, where I see a lot of my colleagues, to whom I'm very sympathetic, wrestling a lot with rest versus busyness. And I am increasingly convinced that a lot of those are just category errors, that it's actually not about those either ors. It's about what you're describing. So while it sometimes plays out in the context of faith-filled justice-making, it's also just in the context of just parish ministry and being able to navigate the complexity of it in a deeper way. And sometimes I think we give too much credence to just sort of, like when we talk about what it means to have a balanced life, I know what that means, but sometimes I wonder if there's a deeper way to talk about that. You mentioned the church mothers and fathers, and I see more of that there, where I think there's a centeredness here that's not really about balancing anything. It's just like this one spring from which everything seems to hold together.
Yeah, so this image came to me in the last couple of days, and I have not worked it out, but this image has come to me of like our journey, our spiritual journey, our vocational journey, our walk of discipleship. Mm-hmm. Any of those three will work for what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. It came to me in the last 48 hours that I have been viewing that journey as like a path, like a vista, the image of a trail in the forest or a path through the prairie, something where I see this open space and I'm walking towards some end. And it just occurred to me in reflection with my community that it's much more like navigating a giant labyrinth, a giant maze, where seemingly every week, every month, I'm coming to an end and needing to look around a corner and needing to ask the Lord, I walk by faith, not by sight. What's around there? Mm. And what do I need to be prepared for it? What is coming my way? And there's no space for talking about balance in the midst of that. When you are raising the next generation of kids at home, pastoral leaders in the field, there's no space for really thinking about balance as much as thinking about what does it mean to walk by faith today?
Yeah.
I agree with you, Adam. It's something totally other than trite things about avoiding burnout. It's about walking at a pace where we let Jesus lead us. That's really hard.
It is. But the other thing I really like about that image and the way you're describing is that I think you can cast that net much more broadly beyond vocational ministry in a way that talks about lay people doing life every day and working 15, 60 hours a week and raising 3 and 4 kids and making sure that the way we talk about formation, vocation, busyness, whatever these things are not only taking into account, but actually prioritizing the lives of just disciples of Jesus in our communities.
Yeah.
I'm increasingly convinced that we need to be starting there to think about our own vocations and how we not separate ourselves.
I absolutely agree. Not only that, but I would say that some of my best models for that in the midst of COVID, in the midst of post-COVID life, are actually people who would not understand themselves to formally be in vocational ministry. Mm-hmm, I actually think we have some real models there of people who have surrendered themselves to Christ differently than what the ordination type yoking does for us, right? And so there is a freedom that I see in some of our lay disciples that is both admirable and imitatable. I couldn't agree with you more. I couldn't agree more.
And I also think, too, that if we take what you just said seriously, I think the implications of that for how we just think about ministry, period, are enormous.
Yeah.
It goes well beyond vocation and formation. It really starts to disrupt the vicious cycle of ill-equipped lay people and crushed pastors.
Yeah.
It starts with us rethinking the nature of shared vocation, shared communal faithfulness to proclaim the gospel in a myriad of ways. And that's a whole other, much longer conversation. But I do think a lot of it starts with what we're getting at here around formation, vocation, and refusing to accept the inherited categories of some of these things. I think we need to dig deeper than that.
Yeah. To borrow what you shared about our friend, the other Adam Nixon, looking around and seeing who's got roots, not just the fruit of what is being produced by all of us, because we're all producing, again, see late stage capitalism, but who's got the roots and then apprenticing ourselves to them. Mm. quietly and humbly and seeing what we can glean. I love that. I'm going to tell Adam I'm going to borrow that.
You're connecting hope, vocation, discipleship, themes in that orbit. And I'm wondering if there's any passage of scripture or story that is important to you in that orbit.
I am really sitting with that we walk by faith and not by sight. Like in the last 48 hours, that's really one that's coming to me. That our hope does not disappoint. Every morning when I am listening to NPR and they're giving me the political rundown and I feel my body tensing up about this next coming election, I remind myself that the hope we've been promised, this is out of Hebrews, right, is a hope that does not disappoint. And so if I'm on the edge of disappointment, soul crushing, burnt out, my hope must be rooted in something else. That's giving me a little bit of energy now as well.
Ayanna, thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to the Ministry Collaborative Podcast,
a project of the Macedonian Ministry Foundation.
The Ministry Collaborative nurtures a national network
of pastors and congregations committed to faithful,
creative,
and courageous engagement in their communities.
Our producer is Marthane Sanders.
To find out more about our work of cultivating leadership that makes a difference
in congregations and communities,
visit our website
at www.ministrycollaborative.org.